Yo, this is CTP, and you're listening to the Barbell Shrug Podcast, the number one strength and conditioning podcast for CrossFitters.
If you want to check out the video version, which you should, go to fitter.tv and watch that, because it's way cooler than just listening.
And how do you spell fitter.tv there, Mr. Bledsoe?
F-I-T-R.tv.
He's a good speller. All right, while you're there, definitely go and sign up for the newsletter. As part of signing up for the newsletter, you'll get a video that Mike made where he shows you the top seven snatch mistakes that you're probably making that are keeping you from hitting that next PR and lifting some big weight.
Yeah, look at the seminars, tune into the show, and get ready to become a more awesomer version of
you. We give you the tools you need to succeed.
You become a tool.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson and That's Chris me. Moore. Chris Moore is the hip shooter of the show.
I shoot from my hip. I say what occurs to me, and I don't edit myself.
As made apparent from last episode. So,
Hashtag masturbation.
That's right. This show is brought to you by Faction Foods Nutrition Course. You can go to the Barbell Shrugged website, click on shop, go there, and get Doug's 8-part seminar and to teach you how to not only what eating paleo is, but how to implement it in your life so you're successful.
I do break it down and make it very, very easy to figure out what to do in the real world, not just learning obscure concepts about science and stuff that doesn't have very much application. So
yeah, screw that shit.
Yeah, try to break it down. Just say, hey, eat like this, cook meals like this, organize your kitchen like this, and just tell you what to do.
And you'll be a high performer. You'll be sexy and lean. You'll see those little lines. You'll promise people that they'll get the little Brad Pitt lines in their groin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll buy that if you can promise me that.
Yeah. Make sure to check us out on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating if you don't mind. People have been doing a lot of that lately, and that's pretty cool.
And they feel good about doing it, too.
Yeah.
We're not just pressuring them.
I promise you will feel good about your decision to go over there and leave us a 5-star rating.
We've got hundreds.
We have hundreds?
Yeah.
No way.
We do. We have tons.
All right. I was told we have a lot, but I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah.
And every time you do it, we will zing out with our brains karma to you. Positive karma. Positive, back to you.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you'll do the karma. I'll do the zen.
Whoa.
So head over to iTunes. Check that out. Really appreciate that. We're up to 14th. Ranked 14th.
In the world, in podcasts?
In the whole world.
The only podcast better than ours is Ricky Gervais's podcasts, because he's good. But other than that, there's no podcast in the world that's better than our podcast.
I don't know. None. People are going to start naming off podcasts now that are better than ours.
Okay. Ricky Gervais and the one you named. Other than that, none are better. Those 10, the one that Ricky Gervais does, and then ours are the best. Pretty soon we get to the number 14th on the fitness list. Okay, on the fitness and health list, we're 14th best, and that's just it. And now we get down to the truth.
Next month. Wait, no, not next month.
This month.
This month.
In 10 days. So this will post on Wednesday. So in 10 days, we will be at the Garage Games 1 event. There's going to be an expo where they're going to have a lot of guests coming to talk, and the three of us are all going to be there to talk as well. Mm-hmm. Doug is going to go fairly early in the day to talk about recovery.
I think I'm going first, yeah. Talking about recovery, and then maybe a little bit about soft tissue work and self-massage at the very end with Mike McGoldrick, the owner of Mobility Kits.
Self-massage.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nothing better than
hashtag,
that.
Hashtag.
Is that Saturday morning? You're going first, right?
I'm going first, from what I know, yeah. I think around noon.
Are we sort of all together, coming after each other?
I don't know. I'm gonna intro y'all.
I think you're going to spread us out a little bit. What? And Chris is talking about?
Oh, me.
yes, you.
I'm leading off with a catchy story and illustration like I always do. And it seems like it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but it does. So when you're there, just bear with me. But the talk will be entitled Bottom Up. So I'm going to talk about how we make progression in all things, but how we go from where we're at to where we want to go. So making progress in training, but also getting more out of the experience of training.
Chris's
learning more, experimenting.
Chris's talks are like mystery thrillers. At the beginning of the movie, you're like, what is going on? I'm so confused. Halfway, you're like, man, I'm even more confused. And at the end, you're like, oh my God, it all makes sense.
It's like mind blown. No, you're going to... You're going to love, even if you go, what the fuck is Chris talking about? You're going to love what I'm talking about. I'll go ahead and make that bold promise right now. I'm making a proclamation.
If you don't
hashtag like, proclamation.
If you don't like what he talked about, he'll give you your money back.
They don't have to pay anything.
He's like, whoa, I didn't say that.
If you don't like, if you don't like what I had to talk about, come up to me afterwards and say, look, Chris, I walked all the way down here from the other side of the building, and I sat here, and you didn't. I didn't like what you talked about. And I'll go, look, I'm sorry. I'll give you $2 out of my billfold, and I'll hug you. And I'll say, next time this happens, I'll do better. I'm sorry. I'll do that to every person who doesn't like it. And if you do like it, then I'll still give you a hug. I'll give a lot of hugs. I'm a hugger. Free love, man.
Excellent. I'll be talking, I think, later in the day, Saturday evening, about how to run a CrossFit box, how we do it. Give you a lot of suggestions. I'm going to tell you some exact how to do things to help bring new members in. And
don't make it boring.
Yeah, it won't be boring. It'll be fun. You'll be inspired by the end. Or you'll be very uninspired.
And we're shooting this show there. Right?
One or the other.
One of the two.
We're going to be shooting this show, grabbing people, talking about all kinds of awesome stuff. I don't know what yet.
Yep. So we're going to have a booth there. We're going to be shooting some podcasts over there with some famous CrossFit athletes. So we'll be bringing them on. And
sounds like a blast.
Hopefully they'll be entertaining. If not, then we'll stop talking to them. We just won't publish it.
Yeah, we will just scrap it.
Anyways, what do we get talking about today? Today, oh yeah. So
this is a good one.
Last time we talked, I don't know how we've gone 45, this is 46 episodes, and we haven't discussed this topic. It's incredible that we've overlooked this.
Maybe we danced around it a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's come up here and there. But last week we went over how to gain weight and muscle mass. So it seems appropriate that this week we're going to talk about getting leaner and how to do that. And I think one of the things that kind of drove us towards this topic is we're getting asked pretty frequently, like, you know, what exercises are best to get leaner? You know, I get, you know, people are asking, you know, I've got body fat, I'm holding it in this part of my body, what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. Or they're saying, you know, what exercises are going to work the best? And I don't know. I think we're going to try and cover that today and get all that hammered out. So
we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any big weight swings?
Big weight swings?
Yeah, big swings in body weight. Like, you got to lose 30 pounds in 2 months. And
maybe 20 pounds over, you know. I think that's the biggest swings I've made.
Mm-hmm. Amateur hour.
Excluding weight cutting, which, okay, so I want to clear that up. Like, so if we refer to getting leaner, that means, like, dieting down and losing body fat. And then
chronic adaptation.
Usually I don't know about you guys, and I know Doug, I think he's on the same page as I am. When we start using the words cutting weight, we're usually referring to the week leading up to a competition where you have to get into a weight class, and that involves, you know, dehydration and all that kind of stuff. And that's not actually losing body fat and getting leaner. That is just getting your weight down so you can weigh at a certain
it's temporarily turning yourself into beef jerky, which is not a long-term strategy for being happy and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, things like sauna suits and stuff like that kind of fall into that category of cutting weight, not actually getting leaner. The big swings I've made, I've been up to maybe 200 pounds, and then I've had to try to lean back down around 170, depending on, I'm a small guy.
You're
30-pound swings for me is big. I know Doug's made some big swings. What have you done?
Well, Doug's got a lot of experience with his fighting.
Yeah, Doug's actually probably made more swings than
You're a master at swinging.
Master swinger. Yeah, no, I've been up to 210, 215, and then back down to 185-ish, and then usually I cut water weight down to 170 to weigh in for my fights. So I'll make a 45-pound swing. The biggest swing I ever made was like right around 45 pounds, and it probably took me 6 to 8 weeks to make that big swing. But granted, you know, a third of that was water weight on the very last day.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend it. It's not very fun, but it's doable.
At this point in the show, I want to make a proposition to the audience. I'm not actually the leanest guy. I know you're going to be surprised by that.
There's iTunes listeners that have never seen any of us.
Yeah, I know. But okay, so let me just say this.
He's so shredded. If you're only a listener.
Picture in your mind, iTunes listener. Exceptionally handsome man. Looks like his head was always meant to be bald. He was destined for it. Chiseled physique from shoulders up and thighs down. So right now I'm like 273 pounds, which is pretty light for me. So I'm not like super shredded six-pack guy, but I am the guy here who has made the most awesomest weight swings. I think I can say this definitively, yes?
Yes, I agree.
So I played football in high school at like 330 pounds. I said, this is not working. College football went down to 280. First swing, not huge, okay? After I got through playing college football, I started powerlifting, went from 280 to like 375. It's a pretty good swing. That's swing number two. I got tired of being that. So like, I can be leaner and be strong. So I went swung
this
down
is the
a little
most,
bit.
The most impressive one.
Swung down to 330, hung out there for a little while. And then like, you know what? Fuck powerlifting. This is stupid. And then went from 330 to 230. And like, I always forget the time frame, but it was like 8 months or 9 months.
I remember you doing that and thinking, like, when you got down to like 230, 240, I was at that point in time. Chris looks different.
At this point in time, I was so into it that, like, Christmas Eve night, I had like a piece of chocolate, like cheesecake, at my brother's house, and I stopped. Like, this is wrong. I made a mistake. I feel like a fat pig. I was extreme. I went to the gym and did like 45, 30-second intervals on the Concept 2 just to make myself feel good. So I was getting extreme. And I was like, you know what? This is not good. I want to get strong again. And like 3 or 4 months, 230, like 295. And then went back and did a year's worth of strongman competitions. And now coming back from the time I did the Simple Strength Seminar, Fitter TV, go check it out. I was about 305 during that seminar. And then as of now, since April, boom, about 270. So I'm up and down, baby.
Yeah.
I'm like a roller coaster.
I remember when we went down 240, I was gone for like the last 5 months of that. And I came back and you were like a whole different person.
Yeah, came back,
like last time I saw you, you were 300 pounds. And then all of a sudden you're 240 when I came back into town. And like, you didn't even look like you. It was crazy.
And I'll say, it's like, we all have these lessons of like how to get leaner, but also preserve the things you don't want to lose. So you don't want to sacrifice everything else for the sake of just chasing and getting leaner. There's some things you can do to get lean the right way. So I think it's probably what we're going to deliver to you today.
Yeah, and a little note there is we've all made some pretty big swings and several times over, and a lot of times people ask, you know, why is it so easy for you to do this? It's like, actually, doing it more frequently does make it easier. Like, you figure out exactly what works and what doesn't, and you just kind of, I mean, it's just like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's with practice, you get better at it.
Yeah.
And it's really important to us, so we work hard at it. That's part of the top secret tip right there for you.
Yeah.
If it's important to you, you'll put a lot of effort behind it.
Something's really helped me is graphing my weight. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I wake up every day, I weigh myself, and I get on my phone and I punch in a number and it graphs it automatically.
How long have you been graphing your weight? I know it's been a long time.
I've been graphing my weight for like 7 years.
Like every day for 7 years. There's probably missing days here and there.
Yeah, every other day. Sometimes
I miss
a few.
Listeners, what a graph is. Like, think back to algebra. A graph. Like points.
Yeah,
you can see it going up and down.
Doug uses an Excel spreadsheet and he just puts the number in and he's got the graphs that track it, and that's something I do with some of the athletes that I coach. Is I give them a graph that we share on Google Docs, and so we can watch their weight, and we watch some other values as well. But that's one of those things we do watch.
Yeah.
Constantly monitoring. One reason I like it is because you don't know. You can find some interesting things there if you're always tracking it. Sometimes people ignore their weight for a long time, and that can be good. That can be good for a lot of people, especially if they get hung up on it a lot. But if you're tracking it, then you know, well, I can squat this much when I weigh this much, but I know that if I lose 10 pounds, then that totally goes.
Well, you need to remind yourself, too, that, look, it's okay that you weigh a certain thing here, and then you may weigh more that night or the next day. But your weight's going up and down and fluctuating, so over time you can see it's going either up if you're gaining or going down.
Yeah, the important part is to weigh yourself at the same exact time of day. Every time.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes the most sense is, like Doug does, first thing in the morning before you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you're going to get the most consistent results because, yeah, if I weigh in the morning, I might be 172 pounds, and in the evening, I'll be 178. You know, depends on what I did that day and what I ate.
And what you excreted from your body.
That's right.
Yeah, people come to me all the time, and they're like, I gained like 5 pounds. And I'm like,
so?
Well, when was the last time you weighed yourself? They're like, 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I don't know. Like, that could be a fluctuation. I fluctuate 5 pounds, but I fluctuated up to like 8 pounds in a day.
Right.
And I'm super consistent. Like, I wake up, I go to the bathroom, right. I weigh myself naked, then I get a drink of water, I get in the shower. And like, that's what I do like every day. And still, it fluctuates
your life
4, 5, 6 pounds.
Everybody in the audience, listen to me. Your life is not a straight line. Forget about it. Your strength is not going to be consistent every single time you try to test it. Your diet, mm-hmm. your weight, your mood, your everything is going to be fluctuating. It's okay. It's normal. Everything will not be as you expect it to be when you expect it to be there. Get used to it.
True that. True that.
Just plot it out, man. Just plot out your life, bro.
Another thing is that we've been hit up with on Facebook and on Twitter is, you know, people talking about, I can't do this certain exercise. How do I get leaner, you know, if I can't run or something like that?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about how to get leaner when maybe you're limited on the type of exercises you can do. Like if you can't do cardio, then mm-hmm. then what are your options? Mm-hmm. Or we'll talk about how to get leaner with just a barbell.
Yeah, and maybe what you think is not going to make you leaner, but really could be one of the most effective things. Just, you know, like heavy Olympic lifting training is probably a good way to get – it's just misconceptions about what you have to do in order to get lean.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, oh, if I can't get on a rower or I can't run or I can't jump rope,
not true.
Then how am I going to lose fat? How is that going to work?
Not
so,
true.
Well, the leanest I've ever been, all I did was barbell work, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
No cardio.
That's a big debate in the bodybuilding community. Like some guys do cardio to get lean and other guys just keep lifting heavy weights and they diet themselves down. And both parties kind of have similar results.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think just for me, just lifting weights and dieting down has always been how I've done it. Like,
yeah.
I still train for speed, strength, and power. And if I want to be 170, then I just diet down to 170. If I want to be 215, then I just eat more food and I build up to 215. Maintain my strength the whole time.
Doug, get this shit mathematical now.
Yeah, I mean, really, especially with the graphs, like, I'll say I need to be 170 on this day, and I'll plot a regression, and then when I put my weight in, I'll see if I'm above or below the regression, leading to the weight that I need to be on a certain day, and
wow.
I know exactly where I'm at. I never get off track.
You do this. You see yourself in the future where you want to be. You see yourself holding, cupping, and nurturing your goal. You've attained it. You've attained it. You're feeling the feeling, and you say, right, how do I get to where I want to be? You plot the line, and every day you take a little step towards that goal. And before you know it, you find yourself there. Your dream becomes a reality.
This is going to be your whole talk at the Garage Games, like 2 hours of that.
How to obtain your dreams. Dream Weaving by Chris Moore.
All right. Okay, so we're going to move on to kind of what to do here in a little bit. Before we get into that, what are kind of like the common misconceptions about like how to get lean? How do people do it wrong?
Oh, yeah. I think people do it wrong because they think they have to go jogging or rowing or swimming. You know, the biggest misconception is that cardio is the way to burn fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason behind that has to do with, you know, the whole idea that you're burning a higher percentage of fat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not thinking about, like, total calories burned and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, we could dig into that.
Yeah.
So, here, overall for your metabolism, here's how you burn calories. There's generally three ways. There's your resting metabolic rate, which basically correlates to how much muscle mass you have.
That's what you burn just being alive, right?
Yeah, that's what you burn just being alive. That's like 60 to 70% of the calories you burn is just from being alive and awake.
How would you measure that? I mean, there's ways to measure resting.
Basal metabolic
rate or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, usually what they do is whenever they measure how many calories you're burning, they're measuring the gas exchange, how much oxygen you're breathing in, how much CO2 you're breathing out. So usually what you do is you go to a lab, they put a tube in your mouth that's hooked up to some machines that can measure that stuff, and then you just sit there like this.
And you dramatically breathe in and out.
You try not to move for, you know, however long, you know, we'll say 10 minutes, and then they basically expand that to the whole rest of your day.
They also, like, you can put just a big bag over your head and lay on a table, right? And just kind of sit there and chill out.
The one that I've seen is, you lay down and they put like this dome over your head.
Yeah.
And you just got to lay there.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's pretty cool. You just don't do anything.
I don't know how long they have to test that. Anyway, sorry, I got off track.
I don't know how long you have to test
it. It's pretty fascinating to just know what your basal metabolic rate would be.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
they figure out how many calories you burn per minute from just kind of being alive and awake and relaxed, and then they can extrapolate that to the rest of the day. And then you got a bunch of other factors with how much activity you do and whatnot. But that's just to trying to figure out how much or how many calories you would burn from
if
just being alive.
If you don't train at all in a 24-hour period, how many calories you would burn. That's kind of like your basal metabolic rate.
Right. And so that's kind of the first and most important one. And like I said, the biggest correlation between your resting metabolic rate – occurs with muscle mass. More muscle mass means you burn more calories from just being alive. So strength training is a big component to losing weight because that's more tissue from which you burn calories and burn fat. You burn fat in your muscles. So if you have more muscle, you can burn more fat.
So when my wife is getting mad at me, she goes, "Why is it you can get leaner so much faster?" And I'm like, "Well, I've got like
a big shredded, awesome, handsome man.
I've got so much muscle that, you know, it just
I'm so yoked and huge that I can't help but be shredded.
I can't help but just burn fat like, you know, relentlessly."
She says something. She's yelling at you.
So I'm like, "All you gotta do is put on a ton of muscle and you'll be good to go."
That's a good point, because if you follow the path towards, well, I want to get lean, so I'm going to just obsessively do some cardio, and I'm going to go on the nothing but celery stalks diet, and I'm going to push. So you're doing a lot of stuff, and you're not eating a lot of food, and you don't have a lot of energy to do efficient, high-power, high-force strength training. So pretty soon what you're getting into is a sort of a metabolically, hormonally not very optimal situation. You get weaker, you get slower. You're going to lose a lot of muscle mass. You're living a lifestyle that can't be sustained. You're waking up at 5 a.m. and doing an hour of whatever you're trying to do or what have you. You're eating a weird diet. You fall off. You lose the drive to keep this lifestyle up. You get terrible results. You go back to your ways. You eat a bunch of food. Your insulin response is huge. You end up being fatter than you were before. I mean, how many times have you seen that play out with people?
Yeah, up and down, yo-yo diet.
Yeah, some people don't go to all those extremes, but when they do up the cardio and they think that I'll just add this to what I'm doing now with my strength training, I'll get the leaner thing and I'll
more
cut out some
not
food
better.
It's not. It's like, that's one thing I've done in my training recently is like, I did a little CrossFit experiment from like May to July, doing wads, getting crushed, having Mike McGoldrick scream at me. Not very fun, really.
But yeah, watching Mike scream at you as you did Karen was fantastic.
God, that was not fun. Like I did like 3 wall ball shots. I'm tired. So that leaves 147.
Karen has 150 wall ball shots for time.
And McGoldrick starts yelling at me, "Come on, man. Come on, you can do it. You can do it." For like the next however long. I go, "Jesus, man, I'm already tired." And he's like, "Okay, that's 10. You only have 140 more to go. Let's go." That doesn't seem like a motivating thing to me. You only have 140 to go. You've done 10. You're exhausted.
I was doing 50 the other day, and I was on burpee 2, and he popped over like, "Let's go, man."
So now I've gotten even. So I made progress. I dropped down to like 290, 287 or something. But then since then, I'm eating more. I've upped my protein. Like every night, I'm eating like almost a whole bar of dark chocolate. I'm not very proud of it, but anyway. But my training is a little bit more frequent with barbell work, and I'm not doing wads, and I'm still that trajectory, that regression, like Doug's saying, that is pointed down still. So it's a big lesson. Like in the practical world, if you want to be strong and preserve muscle mass and get leaner, there is a clear path to it. It's probably a lot simpler than you think.
Yeah,
and it fights against these myths.
Right. And one of the things I want to get back to is like the resting metabolic rate is the one thing you look at for burning fat. What's the others?
Oh, the 3 parts of your metabolism. So that was the first part. The reason I brought that up is because you said that one of the misconceptions was that it's kind of all about burning calories, and you burn a higher percentage of fat when you're doing low intensity exercise. Which
that's why when you jump on the what's it called? Elliptical.
Like elliptical machine.
They got the elliptical, and they've got this graph. You know, you're in the fat burning zone, and I think just having that chart and exposing any chick who's like jumping on the elliptical to try and burn some fat, they see that chart and go, "Oh, I got to be in that range," and that's going to be the most beneficial for burning fat.
Stupid,
right? The misconception there is that so
naive, maybe not stupid, just naive.
Yeah, they just don't know any better.
Silly and naive. And stupid.
It's kind of silly. It helps sell those machines, I'll give it that. But the reason that's not quite 100% correct in the long term is there is a fat burning zone. There's a point where if you're sleeping, you might be burning 1 or 2 calories per minute, and it's going to be a super high percentage of fat because that's as low as an intensity as you can get is taking a nap.
Well, we want to cover that, like the lower the intensity, we want to talk about different types of fuel.
No, it's not going to go down that path quite yet, but here, I'll finish this thought and maybe it'll make sense. So at a super low intensity, you're burning a very high percentage of those calories, but you're not burning very many calories. So if you're burning 2 calories a minute at 80% fat, that's 1.6 calories of fat. If you run a full speed sprint, maybe you burn 30 calories a minute, but it's, you know, 90% carbohydrates. Well, that's still 10,
you're still burning
10%
fat,
and that's more fat during that sprint than sleeping. Granted, you can't maintain, you know, a full speed sprint for very long. So that's kind of how that works. You burn more carbohydrates when you go high intensity and more fat at low intensity. At some point in the middle, you know, you can maintain a pace and you know, keep going for a long time, and you're burning something like, you know, 40 or 50% fat. And there's a peak in there somewhere where you're burning the most fat. But that's only during the exercise. And so what people, the misconception is that if you can have the kind of that peak during the 20 or 40 minutes that you're on the elliptical machine, then you're burning the most fat possible. But we need to think about the 24-hour day, not just the 20 or 30 minutes that you're working out. So with the higher intensity exercise, you're going to raise your metabolism, you know, when you're when you're finished working out the rest of the day. If you put on muscle mass, potentially, you know, as long as you have that muscle mass and not just that 20-minute window when you're working out. So low intensity exercise it's easy to fall into that trap thinking I burn more fat, but it's just during the exercise, and then afterward your metabolism goes back to normal and you're not burning more fat the rest of the day. What we want to do is burn more fat the rest of the day by doing higher intensity activity.
Yeah. Well, one thing I tell people is we want to look at the total calories we can burn in a 24-hour period, yeah. Not for the while you're training. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's I think if you just think about the 24-hour period as a whole, everything makes way more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you think about strength training, well, what happens during strength training? You lift weights and you get weaker.
What? Acutely. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, acutely. Like, yeah, you lift weights and you get weaker. I've
never lifted weights and gotten weaker.
Right.
Only gotten stronger.
I've only gotten huger.
Huger. Right. Yeah, you lift weights, you get weaker, and then you adapt and you get a little better. So if you think about...
Oh, you adapt.
You stepping on my cord?
Yeah.
So what happens when you lift weights? You break that muscle tissue, you get fatigued, and you perform worse temporarily, and then you get a little bit better. So if you think about weightlifting just in the short term, it makes you weaker. But if you think about weightlifting in the long term, it makes you stronger. Kind of the same thing with low-intensity cardio. Think about it in the short term, it burns the most calories of fat. But in the long term, it doesn't necessarily do that because your metabolism isn't raised for all the time that you're not training. You're only up for that very small amount of time that you're actually doing some low-intensity work, 20, 30 an hour.
Sounds like if I was the listener, I'd rewind and listen to that again because that was pretty important, what you just said. That was a big pearl. That was a nugget this big.
Yeah. Actually, y'all know the hierarchy of fat loss that Alan Cosgrove came up with?
Sounds like a fantastic name. I've never heard of it, actually.
It's a good concept. He basically breaks down exercise into three different categories, and it's kind of what I've been talking about with Alex. He put a name on it. He says that the most important thing for burning fat is fixing your diet. And he kind of does the Fight Club thing where he's like, you know, first thing is diet, and second thing is also diet. But then the third thing is,
oh,
right.
Well, yeah, but nutrition is the biggest part.
It really is the biggest part.
You can't overlook that.
Yeah. Well, if you aren't fixing your diet, then there's pretty much no hope for you.
Just kill yourself.
you can't out, you know, it's not like
you can't out-train
a bad diet.
Yeah. The calories, you know, you can't be like, oh, I ate 500 calories that I wish I didn't. I'm going to go for a 2-hour run and burn 500 calories. This doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's futile.
All right. So the way he breaks it down is that there's three different types of exercise in this model. There's exercise that burns calories during exercise. There's exercise that burns calories during exercise and immediately after exercise for hours or days later. And then there's exercise that burns calories during, immediately afterward, and then for the long term, which basically, like I said before, when you put on muscle mass, you're going to burn some extra calories as long as you have that muscle mass. So
sounds like I want option three.
Yeah, so why would you do anything else besides the one that raises your metabolism for the short term, like the next few days, and for the long term? So,
there are some reasons to not only do that one single thing.
Yeah, what he's saying is you want to prioritize that stuff first, and then you can, once that's handled, you can do some of the other stuff, and then once that's handled, you can do some of the low intensity stuff. So to put more specifics on that model, basically metabolic strength training is the one that burns calories during, immediately afterward, and for the long term. So anything that's high intensity, even if it's just like a regular bodybuilding routine, since strength training is basically interval training anyway, if you do a back squat for a set of 12, it might take you 50 seconds, but that's max effort for 50 seconds, and then you're going to rest 2 minutes and then go back and do it again, and that's pretty much high-intensity interval training.
Sounds
it's
like
just strength training. Yeah. It is if you're a weightlifter. 12 reps sounds like a lot of reps.
12 reps. That's like 5 times more than I normally do.
At least. Well, you got 405 for a double the other day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big in the squat?
Yeah.
You're so strong.
405 for a double. That's the first time I've broken 400 for more than a single rep on back squat. Yeah. And I'm lighter than I have been in a while, too. So I weighed in about 173 that morning, that afternoon.
It's good.
Squatted that, yeah. I think training's going well.
Yeah, awesome.
Doing a little bit of experimentation on myself.
All right.
It's working out.
Beautiful. So that's the first thing. The metabolic strength training is the one that does all three of those things. The type of training that does the two that doesn't necessarily put on muscle mass but burns calories during and immediately after training is pretty much interval training. If you run a 400-meter sprint as absolutely fast as you can, you take a 5-minute break, and then you do it again, like that type of super high-intensity interval training will burn calories during for sure, but it'll also burn calories for the hours, potentially even the days after that type of exercise. An easy way to conceptualize that is if you're going to work out and all you're going to do is sprint up a flight of stairs, it might take you 3 to 5 seconds to sprint up that flight of stairs. But after 3 to 5 seconds doesn't mean that, you know, all the benefit from that exercise is over. You're going to get to the top, you're going to walk around, you're going to be breathing heavy. You might breathe heavy for 30 seconds or a minute. And during that time that you're breathing heavy, you're burning more calories than you would if you were
like
to stand there.
If you're really out of shape.
Sure. Yeah, especially if you're doing repeats and whatnot. So, you know, just the time that you're breathing, you're obviously, you know, something else is going on compared to just, you know, walking around, you know, not having run a sprint. So you're burning more calories there. Anytime you're sore, you know, it takes calories for your body to kind of remove that old damaged tissue, apply new tissue to it, you know, kind of repackage and remodel the food you ate into actual functional contractile muscle tissue. And all that stuff takes calories. So, you know, if you're sore for 3 or 4 or 5 days, then you can pretty much assume that your metabolism has been raised for 3 or 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, you get these little teams of workers rebuilding your body. It takes resource.
Yeah, it takes physical energy, which is calories, for your body to evolve and adapt. So making yourself sore
for energy.
Yeah, especially in a low intensity environment, like sitting around getting repairing.
Oh my god, you just closed the circle. Right. My mind just went boop.
So what I would recommend there is if you're already doing, you know, metabolic strength training, which is more or less all CrossFitters do, if you want to add a little bit of volume to your training, well, you can take a step down and do high intensity intervals. You know, whether you're running, you know, 400 meter sprints for time, or you're pushing the prowler, or you're doing Airdyne sprints or row intervals, you know, throwing intervals on top of your strength training and your metconning is an easy way to raise your metabolism without beating your body up too much.
You know, that's one way to add volume to your training, mm-hmm. because a lot of the strength training is causing a lot of muscular damage, mm-hmm. and there's only so much of that you can take before it's counterproductive.
Especially if you're starting to watch what you're eating, and then you're kind of slight constriction on your calories. If you start also beating yourself up, you're not going to have success.
Yeah, you're not going to have recovery. You're not going to be able to train as often, and then you're not going to get those positive adaptations.
It doesn't matter how many times you masturbate; it won't help.
None whatsoever.
Not in that situation.
Trying to get Mike uncomfortable again.
Oh,
he was trying to get out of it. He was like, "Yeah, I guess." I mean, it's not what I did that time. Chris was like, "But you could have, and it would have been good." Like, yeah.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Totally got me off track.
But I guess now what we lead to don't do the third kind of thing. Don't sit around for 3 hours on a cardio machine and expect the world to come at your feet. You're going to just get really tired, and it's not going to have the success you want.
The only time you want to do that is if you've kind of done all the other stuff, and maybe you just want to throw something else on top.
Maybe you want to feel the pain of sitting on an elliptical machine all afternoon, and you want to waste your life. If that's what you want, I guess you can do it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, that's probably the best time to listen to the podcast, though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, McGoldrick will do a 30-minute row at a very casual pace on a recovery day, but he does 14 sessions a week, and most of them are fucking hard sessions.
So those are also actual recovery. I said recovery.
Yeah, he's doing it for
he's
a very
not,
specific reason.
He's not
reason.
Getting his heart rate very high and stuff like that.
Yeah, so everything kind of has its place, but you want to take care of the most important stuff first, and if you're not doing the most important stuff, then there's, you know, why would you do the one exercise or the type of exercise that only does the one thing, burning calories during?
Yeah,
you want to burn
pick
calories.
The lowest hanging fruit that's right in front of your face. I'll give you the biggest, most immediate reward.
Yeah, biggest bang for your buck is to do Metcons, metabolic strength training, and then
get bang.
And then, like
for
we said before,
buck.
Eating right.
Yeah, you know? The thing is, most of us have just a finite amount of time. you know, make the most of it. You don't want to, you know, you
can I break into motivational Chris phase again?
Use the most effective thing and then move your way back.
Is limited. You need to maximize your impact. Visualize your goal. Experience life to its fullest. Don't count the hours. Don't count the minutes. Achieve the dream.
You said most of us are finite. What are you talking about?
I'm going to live forever. So, anyways.
You got that shipment of monkey pancreases from China. You're going to make a tea out of it. And you've been told you'll live
forever. I won't tell people about my experimentation. All right, we're going to take a break real quick. We'll get back. When we get back, we're going to talk about exactly how you should train and eat to get leaner.
Is it pancreases or pancreae?
Man, I don't know.
Doug, help
me. I want to know. Get the Googles.
I'm on the break.
Hey, guys, this is Rich Froning, and you're listening to Barbell Shrugs. For the video version, go to fitter.tv.
That's you making that noise.
One. Break it down, Mike.
Welcome back to Barbell Shrug. Part two of Getting Lean.
In a world where our listeners are getting leaner, there's three men delivering knowledge. I should start laughing. So
we started? Yeah. I'm texting.
Doug is tweeting. make sure to go check out our t-shirts. They're super pimp.
super dot dot dot. Pimp.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. We had them made out of American Apparel materials. So it's a 50-50 blend. You're going to want to wear it. It's not one of those t-shirts you get when you run a 5K and you wear it once and you're like, this is total horse shit.
It's not made of this stuff.
Comfortable.
It's not made of this stuff that they make things you pull out of the stall and put on the toilet. It's not made of that paper material. It's made of quality, soft, luxurious cotton. They won't rub your nipples raw and make them bleed.
That's right.
I promise you that.
Have you had that problem?
I've had that problem.
Well, I have the problem of cheap t-shirts that feel like you're wearing like a burlap sack or toilet paper. Yeah, and this is not one of those.
I've got too many nice t-shirts to not wear the nice t-shirts. So we will not sell anything. We will not use ourselves.
We are committed to you, the listener and the customer and the consumer. We will not give you toilet paper shirts. Okay? We'll deliver value to you. Your nipples are safe in our hands.
You're going to run 3 marathons in these. No nipples bleeding. That's a real problem with the marathon runners.
Yeah, right, that's another show. Yeah.
Oh, get lean.
All right, we're talking about getting lean. These shirts, if you wear them, you will appear leaner.
They're gray.
Doug was making some really fascinating points about...
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Well, it was useful. I wouldn't say fascinating. It was highly useful. Well, highly
fascinating
useful
to me.
Points.
Yeah. I was going to say, there are people that it will be
financially fascinating.
Financeful. You'll think it's cool. Doug, let's pick up where you kind of left off and talking about the different types of metabolism. Is that what you're getting to?
The three things that kind of determine your overall metabolism. So, so the biggest one, like I said, was the resting metabolic rate. That's like 60-70% of the calories that you burn come from that side of things. So we already kind of talked about that. The other two things are the thermic effect of feeding or the thermic effect of food. And that's how many calories you burn from the food that you eat. So that accounts for about maybe 10% or so.
I'm going to have to stop you. Is there a such thing as a negative calorie?
Well, like I eat celery and I burn more calories from eating the celery than I did from taking it in.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
I've heard chicks say that.
And isn't also
I'm eating nothing but negative calories. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Isn't that bullshit? I've heard it's bullshit. Is it bullshit to do that?
Yeah.
To think that way?
Here's how it breaks down for the food.
back to what I was saying.
Yeah, right. No, well, on that point. So for the thermic effect of eating, if you eat protein about, you know, depending on, a bunch of factors, it's going to range between, we'll say between 6-8% of the calories that you take in from protein are going to get burned in the process of digesting and absorbing those calories. For carbohydrates, it's like 2-4%. For fat, it's like 0-3%. So eating protein, you do burn some more calories with respect to the other nutrients, fats and carbohydrates, but still it's less than 10% in all cases. So if you eat a piece of celery and it has 2 grams of carbohydrates, still it's only gonna be like 3% of that actually is used up in the process of digesting those calories. So probably not negative calories. I think that's like the old wives' tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
just myth. Wanted to bust that myth for you people out there.
And by the way, like, I had a successful day because the food I ate cost me more calories than I consume that allow my body to function the way it's supposed to function.
I promise you, if that were true, you would have no energy.
You'd be dead. I ate negative calories today. I'm also dead. It's great. I've never been leaner and more deader.
More deader. All right. So thermic effect of feeding is the second thing. And then the third one is just activity. That's the one that most people think about when they're trying to change their metabolism, is just how much activity they're doing. We kind of talked about earlier, most people just think moving more and burning more calories is the way to get lean. And that has its place, but we talked about the other types of exercise that raise your metabolism for the long term, which kind of give you more bang for your buck. So you want to stick with the metabolic strength training and the high-intensity intervals rather than just going for jogs. Granted, in the grand scheme of things, I think effort and consistency are the most important things. So, you know, there's tons of people out there that do go for jogs at low intensity, and they get leaner and they lose weight, and there's...
Because they're consistent.
Yeah, they're consistent, and they believe it's going to work. And really, that's one of the most important things. If you believe something's going to work and you put your heart and soul into it, then it's, you know, you're going to get some results off of it. Actually, kind of on that note.
The power of attraction.
That's right. The secret.
The next book?
No.
No.
That's a stupid book.
It's a silly documentary and book.
They did a study a while back on distance running, I want to say intervals and metabolic strength training. And in that particular study, the distance running had the greatest results for the people that completed the protocol. So if they completed, every run as scheduled for the study, those people lost the most weight. But what that study was actually looking at was compliance. Like the distance running people out of the 100 or so people that were supposed to do that protocol, that had the highest attrition. Most people quit and didn't finish the program. And
I'd be willing to bet that most people who are doing the ultra endurance stuff aren't doing it to lose weight.
Sorry, say it again.
Their motivation.
They are doing it to lose weight.
They're not doing it to lose weight. Like
the competitors.
I'm not talking about the people who are like, I just want to achieve something in life, so I want to run one marathon before I die, like a bucket list type thing. Usually that person is like trying to improve their fitness and their health. But the ultra marathoner, the one that goes, you know, on these crazy trail runs for 50K, 50 miles, 100 miles, their motivation is a little bit different. So they're not just trying to reach this weight loss, chasing the dragon, if you will. And that's probably why they're able to keep the protocol.
They're just crazy. They're committed and crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the big fallacy with you know, looking at distance runners is oftentimes people look at distance runners and they think, well, that guy's pretty thin. I want to be thin. I'll go run. And it's a chicken or the egg thing. That guy isn't necessarily thin because he runs. You know, he's already thin and that makes him a good runner. And so he enjoys running the same way that, you know, if Chris is a 350-pound guy and he can squat 1,000 pounds, well, he's naturally going to gravitate towards powerlifting because that's what he's really, really good at. And just because I also squat and do powerlifting doesn't mean I'm automatically going to be 350 pounds and squatting, you know, 1,000 pounds. You know, you would naturally gravitate towards that the same way that someone who's 6'10" would naturally gravitate towards basketball. It's just what people do.
Right.
So it's easy to fall into that mindset where I want to go do what that guy's doing because I want to look like him, when that might not be the thing that necessarily produces the greatest change.
Right.
Bodybuilders are trying to make the biggest change in their physique, and what they do is they lift heavy weights and they diet down.
And do drugs.
That wasn't everything, Doug.
You're missing one component there. But yeah, but that's their whole job. Their whole job is to make a big change in their physique, and that's what they do, and they do it for a living. And when you do it for a living and your whole salary is based on how well you can do it, you're going to find the thing that really works.
If you want to see something that's disappointing, go to a natural bodybuilding show.
It's about as skinny-ass guys.
It's not the
skinny,
same.
Weak guys on stage in their underwear. It's like not even sexually arousing.
Yeah.
Like it should be. It's just pathetic.
I showed up ready to go. Disappointed.
That's the biggest reality check. Like, you know, when luckily people are starting to be a little more open and honest with them bodybuilding now, but like,
yeah,
that's the clearest example of what, because those guys are paying a lot of attention to diet, a lot of attention. Some are probably genetically inclined to be a little leaner and more muscular than you or I, and they're training really hard. They're doing everything that the other side is doing, with the exception of one really key thing, and it's just like a giant ripped bloated, puffy-faced elephant in a room. And that thing is awesome drugs. Drugs are awesome. Drugs, if you want that effect, do them. You're going to get have awesome times. Just long-term strategy for success and well-being is that's probably not the best thing to do.
Yeah, it's great for short-term success.
You'll be huge. You'll be so huge, and in the coffin, you'll look so ripped.
All right, so when you're trying to diet down and get leaner, how do you change your diet? Like, specifically, what do you eat that's different when you're trying to get big versus when you're trying to lean up?
Yeah, well, when I'm trying to get bigger, I'm usually, I bump my carbs quite a bit. I really try to increase the amount of fat I'm eating. I'm a very fat friendly person. Even when I'm getting leaner, I eat a lot of fat. So I may throw in, you know, more fat for the extra calories. Usually what I do is nowadays, all I eat for if I'm just trying to maintain is meat and veggies. I eat one fruit a day, like half an apple, meat and veggies all day. Not a lot of starchy stuff, too. So I'm not eating a lot of potatoes or anything like that. You have to consider, too, I'm a weightlifter. I'm not doing a lot of CrossFit right now. So if I was doing a lot of CrossFit with that higher volume training, I would probably have
rice,
to be crushing
sweet potatoes and
stuff. I'd have to add that stuff in, but I don't. What I normally do if I'm trying to get leaner is I cut that goat milk I'm always talking about. You know, I drink, you know, a quarter or a half gallon of goat milk. I'll cut that probably completely out. Maybe I just reduce the amount of goat milk I'm eating post training. And then I just, I make sure to stay away from anything that's sugary, any kind of grains, anything like that. And, what I do is I just don't eat fruit. I don't eat starchy stuff. The only starchy stuff I consume is like during training, which is pure glucose or waxy maize, which is derived from corn or something like that. But, I cut out anything that's like alcohol is the biggest one for me.
Cause like, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You struggle with that.
Essentially. No. Don't believe that, please. People can think I'm an alcoholic now.
That's right.
I am not an alcoholic.
You masturbate a lot and you drink a lot of alcohol.
This guy's got a lot of...
The first step is to admit it, and then you can get past it.
That's right. All right, what about you? How do you change your diet when you're trying to lean up?
I'm in the process of still learning what that all entails, and it's sort of like a revelation that if I focus on first training, so high-frequency barbell lifts. So I'm one thing I'm doing that's different is like 3 or 4 days a week I'm doing like snatches, which is very, very fun and enlightening for a former powerlifter to do. It's really cool. Frequent squatting, a lot of like assistance work, and that's that on the training side pretty much is taking care of everything. No need for anything else. On the diet side, I think this routine I've gotten in during the week, my carbs are low. I've cut down on fruit. I've taken your cue on that.
Yeah,
so like in the morning I'm having a shake with I take a shake. Like every night I make a big-ass batch of like protein powder, maybe a little muscle milk thrown in there, a little coconut milk, water, branch chains. I'm really up in the branch chains too, dude. I'm taking that cue. I'm like adding like 5 teaspoons in every batch of shakes. I'm just piling that stuff on.
Yeah.
You know, the D-aspartic acid, a little vitamin D. But I've cut out a lot of the fruit. And I have a big fruit guy, but like instead of doing like a grapefruit every morning, cutting that out and just going with adding a bunch of spinach into that shake, drinking 2 or 3 of those a day, and then having meat and veggies at every other meal, and then trying to up the carbohydrate right after I train, so eating apples during, and then having coconut water with my shake, and then afterwards another meat and veg meal. That seems to be working really good.
I think one of the things that helped me out recently, you were talking about the fruit part, and kind of reminded me of fructose. And I was doing Gatorade in my shakes for sugar for a long time as my carbohydrate, and that has fructose in it. And I think when I cut that, when I traded that out for waxy maize or glucose, I actually saw a difference within a couple weeks. There was like that little bit of like, you know, I was maintaining the same exact body composition. And as soon as I made the switch from Gatorade to waxy maize or glucose, that's when like I felt like my body fat did drop like 1 to 2% quickly.
What about coconut water, Doug? What kind of sugar is that? This is a dumb question. I don't know.
No, you know what? Actually, I don't know. I've never looked up the breakdown of the actual sugars in coconut water.
I've tried to look it up, and
it's a mystery.
I had a hard time finding
it. That may be the next lead I go is because, look, there's all these assumptions, right? You think, I want to get huge. We talk about drinking a gallon of milk. But really, it's not just that. It's like when you drink it. And for me, it's like, okay, I'm cutting out the carbohydrates. I'm learning when to consume them to get the refueling I need. But to have all the energy I need, like I don't have to have the fruit early in the day. Okay, that's a lesson learned. The next one for me is manipulating the kind. and the timing of it a little bit more. It's like, yeah, I eat fruit and I want some fruit, especially if I'm drinking, like last night, like 7 Corvette Summers, which were delicious. CTP, I'm sorry I didn't have one. I'll make you one. I'll make you one. Tequila was flowing like
wine.
Like wine. <last night. laughs> And that's probably not good for lean body mass, whatever. But yeah, I mean, learning those subtle things make a huge difference.
Yeah.
It's coming with experience for me. I'm learning, okay, I don't have to, I'm letting go of those myths myself.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I kind of left what I do to get leaner. I didn't hit like a good summary there.
Mm-hmm.
I basically just cut out all dairy.
Yeah.
And what was it? Shit.
And a lot of
alcohol.
Fructose.
Dairy and alcohol, just, your big ones.
Dairy and alcohol. If I cut dairy and alcohol, I will start, I'll get leaner. And then my recovery gets, well, the dairy helps me recovery. But like, that, you know, if I just cut out the alcohol, I'll cut the alcohol first, keep the dairy. Because that's good for my recovery.
Yeah.
But then if I want to get leaner after that, then I have to cut the dairy. Yeah. But for all of you out there that are trying to get leaner and you're still drinking your milk, you know, that's...
And you're eating like 5 apples for breakfast, cut that shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting your calories all from whole, real food and not from liquids is way easier than just eating less food.
Liquid calories tend to not fill you up. Strange.
Yeah.
They're liquid.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to gain weight, like... You know, big blender bombs or super shakes or whatever you want to call them are fantastic. It's the easy way to get a lot of calories. So when you're trying to lose weight, it's kind of the exact opposite. You want to not be crushing hundreds of calories, you know,
in our heatification project, we'll probably share tips for how to make those blender bombs.
We're going to
do a lot of that.
I'm not saying we're not calling it that. So we haven't come up with a name for the weight
project
gain.
Code name huge-ification.
Yeah, we need more suggestions. We've gotten some good ones, but we're compiling them.
Yeah, that was a program we did in the past, the huge-ification product.
But for getting lean though, timing kinds and keeping those kinds whole unprocessed foods is gonna. If you can spend a lot of time chewing stuff and prepping stuff, you're gonna not have time to eat a bunch of bullshit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what you don't want to do is drastically restrict how much food you're eating. Like, I rarely have cravings for junk food, almost ever, because I'm always full and well-nourished. But whenever I cut weights for fights and I can't eat anything for an entire day for, like, 24 hours because, like, I have to weigh 170 and I'm right now I'm 192 and it's, like, 20 hours. Like, those are the times where you have just crazy cravings. Yeah. And, like, I get done and, like, I want to eat. Anything. So, like, I'm literally starving, not like I'm just kind of hungry, like I'm fucking starving,
I'm dying.
So yeah,
tell people, like, if you don't let yourself get hungry, you won't have a cheat meal.
Yeah,
the moment you let yourself get hungry, that's when, even if it takes longer to get that bad food, that's what you're gonna go for.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to lean out, Doug? Like,
because you're a lean, sexy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face facts.
He's got those lines.
You've got Brad Pitt sex lines in your groin.
The sex lines, that's what they're called.
I inspected them personally.
I thought they were the fuck me lines.
Oh, God.
Isn't that right, Ashley?
Yeah.
Well,
I was trying to stay a little cleaner, actually.
I didn't know what that was until my wife told me.
Oh, yeah. I've been following John Berardi for a long time, and he still kind of influences how I think, even though now I'm kind of on the paleo bandwagon. What he does?
Finally,
he kind of breaks meals up into 2 different categories. He calls them anytime meals and post workout meals. And basically, what that means is the anytime meal is basically protein and fat, and the post workout and sometimes breakfast meals are protein and carbohydrates. So you're always eating protein. The majority of the time, you should be eating protein, vegetables, and fat. And then there's specific times, depending on your goals, that you can add carbohydrates to your meals. Generally, that's around your workout and potentially at breakfast. So you store carbohydrates in your muscles and in your liver. And if you get done training, you burned up all those carbohydrates out of your muscles. So it's okay to eat some carbohydrates to replace those carbohydrates. And then in the morning, your liver's been regulating your blood sugar all night and freeing up carbohydrates to kind of just keep you alive all night. And so... If you're trying to, you know, put on muscle mass or just perform at your best, it's okay to have a little bit of carbohydrates in the morning to kind of refill your liver. That's why eating fruit in the morning isn't necessarily such a bad thing. If you're going to have it, that's the best time to have it. And that fruit that sugar that you talked about in fructose can be stored in your liver,
right?
But not in your muscles. So in the morning is the best time to have a little bit of fruit if you're going to eat some fruit.
And that's why I like to do.
So I need to cut my fruit out when I'm training, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to drastically lose weight, then maybe you want to cut it out. But
so I'm trying to be drastic in this life, son.
I'm definitely not saying that fruit is bad for you. I'm not saying that at all. If you are single-digit body fat and you want to go from 8% to 6%, then maybe you need to start cutting your fruit.
Right.
If you're overweight, then eating fruit is probably a good thing. You know, you're probably overweight, not from eating too much fruit, but from eating a bunch of junk. So
I'm so fat from the apples.
Yeah. You know what my problem is? I ate too much fruit. Said no one ever.
That's right. Yeah. It's really never the case.
They've said it. I've heard it said. But they're wrong.
Okay, maybe that's one problem, but there's bigger problems for you.
There's definitely bigger problems.
And then, we kind of covered nutrition a little bit. And the other thing we're kind of leaving out, and I think we covered it real big on the recovery episode, though, is like if you don't get enough rest, your body hormonally is not going to be good for losing body fat. Mm-hmm. So if you are getting 4, 5, 6 hours of sleep a night and you're not getting that 8, 9, 10, and you're not, you know, your lifestyle is really stressful and you got elevated cortisol levels when they shouldn't be elevated and all that kind of stuff.
And you're stress eating.
Your body is actually going to be producing more, it's going to pump out.
Wait, we need to jump in.
Whoa.
CTV, zoom in on my Bledsoe face. Your body's actually going to be producing more. Oh, shit.
We partied too hard last night. My brain's a little foggy.
Oh.
You're going to have more glucose. Like, your body's going to produce more glucose. Well, it's not going to produce it, but it's going to release more glucose in the bloodstream. And it's going to make it really hard to get leaner. If
you're going
to
be
stressed out all the time, and you know, people are like, I'm eating right, they turn in good diet logs. I'm like, oh, how much sleep you get? 5 hours. My work won't allow me. I'm like, well,
that's when you go, shut up, quit making your excuses, take control of your life, get it together. And you slap them. And they go, you're right, coach. Thanks. I needed this.
That's exactly how it goes.
Love it. Okay, yeah,
but if you can be doing all those other things right, you could be weight training. Doing the right type of training, you'd be eating the right type of foods, and if you're not getting the right type of recovery, you may not be able to reach your goal. You know, I've seen it many times. People are like, "I can't lose this tiny bit right here. It's left. Mm-hmm. How do you get rid of it?" And you find out they're not sleeping for shit. And, you
know. So if someone's out there and they're doing everything that we're talking about, they're doing it all right, and they have plateaued, then what? They're doing it right, and it's not working.
They lift
then what
weights,
do you do?
They eat meat and vegetables most of the time.
They're eating good food. They're doing good exercise. They're getting enough sleep.
Well, first you have to make sure they're doing exactly what they think they're doing. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there like, I eat 100% paleo. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I'm like, all right, I believe you, but why don't you fill out a 3-day diet log and bring it in?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've brought this up on the show before is, you know, anytime I ask someone to bring me a diet log, half the time, it never gets to me. You know, they go, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that thing, or I wasn't doing that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, because I was writing it down, there's a little bit of accountability there just to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're writing it down and you're not even going to show it to anybody, even if it's just for your own good, you know, I've had many times people are like, they're writing it down and then they go, oh, I didn't realize I was eating a Snickers bar every single afternoon at 2 o'clock. I'm like, how do you? But it happens, man. People, it's a habit. They do it when they're on autopilot. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the stuff that we do in our life is autopilot. And so, like, turn your ringer off, Doug. So what ends up happening is they're eating a Snickers bar every day at 2 o'clock and they don't realize it until they write it down. They go, I am an idiot. But you're not an idiot. You're just a human being, and you know you're on autopilot, and that's how we get things done. So
sometimes it's okay to wake up and discover that you too have been an idiot.
The other thing is I've had this happen before is they fill out a diet log that they think is good. They're like, I'm doing good. They ate McDonald's 3 times that day. 3 times they had McDonald's meals on
there. They made a sensible selection from the healthy meal.
And
the healthy menu.
And I go,
they had a parfait with granola and processed berries.
Well,
that's not what?
I thought
I was doing good, coach.
I talked to this person. I go, you know, this is, I can't see why this is an improvement. And they're like, well, I was eating it 5 times a day.
Oh, like, well, oh my God.
Good for you.
I was like, I guess you're doing better. Yeah. And I ate an apple. I'm like, oh man, jeez. It's like, all right, well.
But it was weird. Like, I didn't know how to chew it. It resisted being chewed. I didn't like it. It was so whole.
Well, I ate it, but then I threw it up.
Yeah, my body had a visceral reaction to it.
What were you talking about?
Accountability.
I don't know. You were ranting.
You think you're doing something the right way, but you need an outside perspective to know the truth.
If you're plateauing, do that. And then, you know, do a diet log for yourself and then get someone to look at your diet log, even if it's just a friend, you know? So that's usually like my first go-to thing. Someone goes, I'm plateaued, or I don't, you know, a lot of times you know, people think they know exactly what to do and, you know, the tweak is not what they think it is.
It works the other way. It's like, yeah. I'm so overtrained, I need a break. What'd you do? I trained 3 days this week. I'm so tired, I'm overtrained. We need to define terms better.
usually how I break it down for people nutrition-wise is that first you need to focus on food quality. So eating the highest quality, most nutrient-dense food you can find, which is basically eating meat and vegetables and eating paleo. If you have that handled, then you need to think about when you're getting your calories, nutrient timing, which is basically what I talked about a minute ago, getting carbohydrates around your workout and around breakfast. And then once you have that handled, then it's not like calories don't matter at all. They definitely matter. So then it matters how much food you're actually taking in and how many calories you're actually taking in. So your protein intake should stay relatively consistent and relatively constant. And then if you're still not losing weight and you're doing everything else right, you're training hard, you're sleeping well, and you just need to eat less food for a period of time, then you can start bringing down the amount of fat that you eat in your anytime meals, and you can start bringing down the amount of carbohydrates you're eating in your breakfast and post-workout meals. So just ratchet down your carbs and your fat, keep your protein pretty consistent, and then track your weight by weighing yourself and graphing your weight so you can really see, even if you're fluctuating, where the trend is going. I can always see I'm up and I'm down, but I can see if the trend's going down or I can see if the trend is going up, so I can see where my body weight is going.
Right-click the chart. Select add trend line.
There you go.
Just draw it magically. That's like a computer tip for the day.
Yeah. Excel. Get on YouTube and type in how to make a graph in Excel if you don't know how to. It'll be a 1 minute video.
There's one other thing I want to kind of throw out there that's going to like maybe throw some people for a loop. But if you're somebody who's doing an extremely low carb diet and you're doing a good bit of CrossFit, so you're training like 5 days a week and you're not getting a lot of carbohydrates during and after your training, there's actually something to be said for getting some carbs during that training for getting leaner. So it seems counterintuitive, especially for people who subscribe heavily to paleo and low carb. They may go, okay, every carb I eat is an opportunity for my body to store fat. And that's simply not the case. So just as you were talking about nutritional timing, a lot of times if you're getting more sugar during and after training, it actually assists you in being leaner. And, you know, for people who do subscribe to low carb, that's kind of like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
You're fighting against the dogma there.
But what that allows to happen is it allows you first to be able to train harder. You know, you can do more reps, more weight, all that stuff that gets that positive adaptation. And then it also helps you recover faster so that you can train more frequently. Something Chris was talking about, you know, the frequency in training and consistency. You know, if you're totally burned out and you're not recovering very well, you can't be consistent. You can't be frequent. So, you know, the workout shakes, you know, getting some carbohydrate during and after training allows you to train with more intensity, more frequently. And that's where you're going to get
stuff out. That did Doug hit on, like, first things first, high quality food. I say first things first, high quality everything. So sleep and then training. So if you're coming into the gym and you
feel it to the next level.
Extreme. If you come into the gym and you feel rested, recovered, you feel happy, you feel like you have a good amount of overall well-being, you come into the gym, you're having fun, you're lifting hard, you're lifting heavy weights, you're making progress, your technique is good. I mean, every part of your life being optimal, not in a state of deprivation, not in a state of doing without. If you're eating good food and you're training high quality and you're feeling good, I mean, that's the whole ticket to getting what you want. Not like this idea of imposed torture. I got to do without. I have to strip away. When I want to have fun and be in the gym, I can't do that. I got to be on this machine. I got to be torturing myself. I got to be depriving. That's not going to work, dude. And even if it does work, it's going to work for like 2 seconds. And you're going to be so fucking out of your mind that you have to be forced to change. Your body will revolt against you. But if you're eating high-quality paleo foods, which are all awesome foods, and your training is smart, it's efficient, it's intense and short duration, you're just going to feel great all around. You're going to get what you want. And if you don't believe me, just shut up and listen to me and just do it and just try and see for yourself. Go in the gym and feel great. eat a plate of food that's like high-quality steak and veggies and some healthy fats and just feel fucking great about it. And then let it be proved to yourself that, yes, I am on the right path.
Don't believe what anybody says. Try it for 30 days. Try it for 45 days. And then, you know, decide for yourself.
And if you don't feel better, if you don't feel empowered to capture your dreams, to experience life fulfilled, then fuck you.
I think
a good thing to end the show with.
You know what? Yep, we'll just cut it off right there. I think that was perfect. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up so we can go watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we don't know who wins yet.
Because we don't, because this is in the past.
This is in the past. Yeah, we filmed this on Sunday and posted on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So.
Is that all you have to say?
That's it.
It's plug time.
Plug time.
You want to plug holes with stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that thing we do at the end of every show.
Boom, except for the last one.
Oh, yeah.
I think Chris and I forgot to do that.
Whatever.
You may have noticed, when Doug's not here, there's a little less structure to the show. Doug, what would you like to plug?
I thought it was pretty entertaining, though. The Facts and Foods Nutrition Course, all that stuff I talked about today, all the stuff with your metabolism and the hierarchy of fat loss and how to tweak your meals and adjust your diet for your body type, all that stuff is covered in a lot more detail in that program, especially on the last couple sessions. Session 8 specifically talks a lot about the metabolism stuff. So if you want to learn more about how to specifically tweak paleo and tweak your exercise to get leaner, then the Facts and Foods Nutrition Course, and especially Session 8, goes into that in a lot of detail. Chris?
Detail. Well, first, yeah, come to our talk at the Garage Games. It's going to be great. Go to my blog, because it's great, thechrismoreblog.com.
Not good. It's great.
Most of the days I'm posting cool stuff for you. You're going to love it. Simple Strength Seminar. If you want to get really strong and you want to understand things for yourself and make real measured progress without all the bullshit that everybody else in the world is trying to feed you, then friend, you need to listen to the talk. I encourage you to do so. And then I was going to say something else. And I totally just forgot it, but I want to wish you all a pleasant week and may all your dreams come true.
Perfect. Make sure to go to barbellshrug.com. That's our website. There you can see Technique Wad videos. You can search. The site is relatively easy to search to find those videos.
Yeah.
We have the Daily BS, where we shoot a video 3 to 5 minutes long, answer a question. How do we submit questions to the Daily BS, Chris?
Hashtag Ask Daily BS.
Hashtag Ask Daily BS. Use that when you tweet to us your question, and we will get it addressed. Eventually.
Eventually. We get a lot of questions, so.
We've been getting a lot of questions, so it's hard to keep up with all of them. And, make sure to go to barbellshrug.com and also sign up for the newsletter. So you can be up to date on everything that's going on.
So you don't miss out on anything. I'm really lean from here to there. Look at that. So lean from there to there.
Would you say really from the shoulders up and from the knee down?
I have great cankles.
See you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.